SoFloRadio.com and SoFloTelevision.com.
Since the dawn of civilization, the elusive quest in pursuit of the perfect drink continues to evolve. Now more than ever, we reap the rewards of this passion. The perfect vintage, the finest brew, or a spirit of optimum age in class. And now, SoFloRadio.com invites you to discover the wonderful world of booze by the glass.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to By the Glass, a show about beverage culture. We come to you every Thursday at 6 on SoFlo Radio, ByTheGlassShow.com. Woo! We got a great show tonight. I'm joined by my guest host, Jason.
Hey, now.
We got Ivan Crazy on the board.
Yes, I am.
And sitting next to me on my right is a giant pumpkin is Ruth from Bon Beer Voyage. Hey, Ruth, how you doing? I'm just messing with you.
She knew we were drinking
pumpkin. The funny thing is, I said the giant pumpkin because we're drinking pumpkin beer, even though it's the Belgian Independence Day show, everybody. Happy Feedstock, hey! Belgian Independence Day. You know, this is the time of year where we get up and we really party, and we really enjoy the independence that Belgium has had for, I think it's been over 100 years, right? At least. So Ruth's been there just recently. Exactly. We brought her in because, of course, she runs the most wonderful tours for Belgium and for all really different different beer types of tours where you go and you actually go to the wonderful countries, and she puts you up on this lovely boats and caters to you and fine dining, and she takes you to all the different breweries of Belgium, and it's just an amazing time, and she's going to talk all about that tonight. It's her second or third time on the show. It's always wonderful to have you back.
Thank you.
Welcome. How you doing? How was your last trip?
It was awesome.
It was great.
Where'd you go?
Belgium.
Belgium and France.
I'm just kidding.
I know.
So our new itinerary is bringing us into France.
So you got some France going on?
Oh, okay. Absolutely. Yeah.
I could see your end European.
Do they drink beer in France?
Do they? They have some fabulous beer in France, and people just don't know about it. That's why we're.
When I was in France,
I don't know about it.
You do want to.
I would like to know about it.
You do want to know.
Well, when I was in Paris, I was drinking the Kronenbourg 1664, and they had just gotten the 1664 Blanche, which is their wit. Which is similar to a Belgian wit style. Which,
so it's like Belgian beer?
Well, it's very similar. Well, if maybe you don't know, but France...
I don't.
Germany are the ones that border Belgium.
Okay.
They are their main influences. Of course, Netherlands also has some influence too, but their main influence of language, culture, food, beer, whatnot, come from the French or the Germans.
Germans, okay.
Now, you'll notice that in beer styles... As you get into, let's say, the southern part of a more commercialized beer, like a Budweiser of America, would be their Stella. That's the one a lot of people know. Now it's a Pilsner-style lager, classic German style of beer.
Okay.
Right? That's produced there, and it's more the everyday drinking beer. Some of the stuff that's more to the north, once you get into the Woolery region of the French influence, then you have your really fine aspects of the Trappists and different Abbey ales that are produced there. And then as you move over a little bit to the Netherlands side, you get more of the Flanders styles, which incorporate a lot of the sours that are more similar to Lambics and so on and so forth, which is Ruth is a big
I'm a sour freak.
She's a sour freak. Absolutely.
I like girls like sour freak.
You guys remember last time she was on the show and she brought in the Rodenbach? Grand Crew, and you guys almost died.
Yeah.
It was hilarious just to see your faces.
Yeah. No, I was thinking we need to start you on the regular Rodenbach first, and then maybe work you up through that.
Yeah. So
yes, work us up.
Anyway, it's funny. It's a Belgian beer show, but we were drinking this pumpkin, this UFO pumpkin.
It's pretty good.
Just because it just came out, and you know, it's kind of fun to just try a pumpkin beer just for the hell of it, just because I had it.
Now, doesn't that normally come out in the fall, or are they just early for
that? Well, you know, that's a great point, Jason, something I'd like to talk about as an editorial note. It's interesting how, due to the fact that everybody's really trying to beat each other to the punch when it comes to all these beer brands, where it's like we're going to be drinking Christmas in July soon.
For real.
It's ridiculous. It's like they got to stop cutting it.
That's a great idea. I mean, we do Christmas in July events. Why not do a Christmas beer? We got to stock up
from your
Christmas beer in July party.
I saw one somewhere, a beer called Christmas in July.
You saw a beer called Christmas in July?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I'll Google it here in a minute. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing is drinking Christmas beers in July works everywhere but Florida. You know what I mean? It's just too hot, and you know, unless we get into a really like dark
air
and cold space. Yeah,
that's it. Get in.
Well, we'll work it out. You go to Santa's Enchanted Forest, and you you know, you shove ice down your pants, and you pretend
blow
you're in the
is
northern.
Is that going place. Right now though?
No, but I'll play some Christmas music if you want.
Okay, let's do that.
Let's
we'll play
do it.
Some
let's
Christmas music.
A little Christmas carols, get in the mood.
So yeah, so
don't dare me.
So you might be thinking to yourself, what the heck is Feetstag and a Belgian revolution? I didn't hear about it. Well, Belgian National Day really commemorates the first Belgian king, King Leopold. He took his oath before the Belgian Parliament in the King's Square in Brussels, 1831. So it's been much more than 100 years. And it was the Belgian Revolution. Now, as far as I'm concerned, right now is a Belgian Revolution. And it's a wonderful renaissance of beer because right now everybody's drinking great Belgian beers. And
they're
the funny,
coming over everywhere. Yeah.
They are. And the funny thing is they've been around forever.
I just didn't know about them.
Hundreds of years. But American beer culture has changed so much that we're really finally starting to appreciate them. And I think that Ruth's really reaping the benefits of that.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Right?
Well, it gives me an excuse to go.
It gives you an
people.
Excuse to go.
And, you know.
And have some fun.
And have some fun and have some of the best beer in the world. And
absolutely.
But you know what's interesting, though, you know, we all love the Belgian style over here. And we're all hot on it. And,
right.
But a lot of the brewers over there, now they're starting to try and do, like, American style, the IPAs, and that's like becoming big over there as they're trying to make our kind of beer.
Right.
So it's kind of interesting.
You're
that,
absolutely
you know.
Right. You know, I went to London in 1997, and there was guys sitting at an English pub drinking Budweiser, and they loved it.
I was going to ask that. Did they?
That's not exactly
Budweiser
what I had in mind, but yeah, but yeah.
No, but I'm saying it's more to your point, the fact that they felt it was exotic. It was an import to them, and I was just blown away by it. And this, of course, was, you know, a long time ago. So the whole factor of craft beer hadn't really, you know, hit home, especially not over there. But the interesting thing about Europe is they've always had their beer culture. It never got taken away from them.
Right,
people don't realize in America, Prohibition crippled us. We literally had many generations of people growing up thinking that beer was bad, that you're not supposed to enjoy alcohol, and that the whole concept of it was an evil thing because it was taken away from us by the temperance movement. So now you have all these people that are born into this way of thinking, and then once they are drinking beer, they start to drink only from the 60 breweries that have survived Prohibition, and they're making one style of beer, Pilsner lagers. So, therefore, no one really had an understanding of the fact of what beer culture was. It never went away in Europe. However, there's a plus to everything, and the plus is that we have been able to basically rebuild our beer culture from the ground up. Literally, guys in their garages with nothing but a little mash tun and a lot of ingenuity making all these wonderful styles, which have gotten us to the point where we are today. And therefore, through all of our ingenuity and everybody really making great beer and enjoying it, now they're starting to look over to the beer culture that's been around forever and really start to appreciate that. Right? So, I mean, if you look at it, that's kind of a positive aspect of what's going on in America today. And you're absolutely right, because let's face it, there's no such thing as an IPA. I mean, you have, you know, English pale ales, and you have classic English IPAs, but they're nothing like the ones we have. If you look at an American IPA, it's more alcohol, it's more hops, it's more character, more original gravity. It's a completely different beer, and they love it, and they're emulating them all the time.
Yeah, and not only in Belgium, in France, one of the brewers we were at over there, Daniel Thierrier, he's mostly farmhouse ales, but he just came out with an IPA that'll blow your socks off.
Well, I love those. Those are some of my favorite ones. Those Belgian IPAs where they're saison styles, so they use a little bit of wheat. They might use a little bit of spice. You never really know what's in the mash. It might be a 50-50 barley wheat mash, but they're using a lot of American hops. They're not using those classic traditional the Hallertau, the Sots, and all the Nobles that you get over there. Not even East Colton, Kent and Golding. They're using a lot of American hops and giving you all those wonderful citrus and pine flavors and those essential oils that you get from the American hops. Completely changes the beer, gives you a completely different character and a whole other aspect.
Do you know what the Chimay Triple, do you know it's got Cascade hops in it?
I didn't know that.
I just found that out last week when we were over
there.
Okay,
that's why we had her on the show. Breaking news. Like, I hope that Rob from beernews.org, or what's his new one, Jason?
Did he change his?
He changed it. It's not Beer News anymore. I'm sorry. I'm so behind the times. Beer Pulse. That's phenomenal, because I never knew. Did they keep that under wraps?
How did they get
Cascade hops back in the day? Like from, like, oh, you know, when they started? Because 1850 was when he did, when Father Theodore.
But that wasn't when they started.
No, but I'm saying that's when he.
White.
Well, no, not the white, no. 1850, Father Theodore, he isolated the yeast strain that they use in Chimay today, and they started to produce. This is our 150th anniversary, so it was 1850...
1862 is when they started.
Right, but so that's 150 years ago.
That was him coming up with isolating the yeast strain. It's
right.
Close to what they could figure that it was
but
originally.
But he started to produce... Right, that's when they started to produce their Premier red. Right,
the
their double.
And okay. that's Premier or Premier in French, which means first. That's
okay.
why it's called Premier or
right.
Premier.
Premier, Premier. So it's the first, absolutely. Yeah. So that's the first one. And then I'm not sure, I should know this, and forgive me for not knowing this, when they started. I know the Cinq Cents, 500 years of monastic tradition.
That wasn't when they started that. That's just when they made the big bottle. So it was the red first.
Right,
and then
was Grand Reserve, wasn't it?
Right, which is the blue.
Which is, yeah, the
right,
blue.
The blue.
They made that for Christmas.
That was originally a Christmas
yeah,
beer, and
yeah.
then they decided to keep
in
it
July.
All year.
They made
right.
it in July, right?
There's Christmas in July.
There's a ton of Christmas in July beers.
But this was really.
Is there really?
We could do a taste. Let's do a tasting. That could be a whole.
You know, I want
all the Christmas in
July. That's a great
beers.
One. I want to do Christmas in July.
We could get dressed for it.
We could. Oh,
we could
do.
We could do decorations. We could do music.
Santa hat.
Do you really?
Yeah. We can even set up a little box.
Why am I not surprised?
I got all kinds of gear. I got children. I got to do that stuff.
The
you know,
the only
dress
problem
up
is next week we have a
clown
shows already.
Ruth doesn't believe me. Don't you don't have children. People that don't have children, they don't believe the crazy things that we do. The people.
I believe you.
I know,
you.
But I have all that stuff, and I don't have kids, so I don't try to use kids as an excuse is all I'm saying is, you know,
that's a good excuse. I'm sure I would do it anyway.
Fantastic. Would you mind busting out the Leffe, please? And Leffe is a wonderful beer that's an Abbey Ale, and it's made in Belgium. Now, the difference between Abbey Ales and beers really made in an Abbey, Leffe 1240 Anno, and Anno means that's the year that they first started. I'm sure it's not the same as it is today. And they say that it's the beer that saved the world. Why? Because everybody knows back then you couldn't drink water. It was poison. So a real good way to make sure that your water was clean was to make beer out of it. You would boil it and steep whatever you had in it. And then, of course, the natural fermentation that would take place through the spontaneous aspect back then would allow them to have a really good potable drink that they could carry with them and it would keep longer. But they did not have, and they still don't, really have a lot of, it goes to Ruth's point, naturally occurring hops in Belgium. They don't make a lot of, they don't have a lot of hops due to the way that things grow there. And they probably had to use, and not probably, they use their yeasts to spice the beer and to contrast the sweet malts. So what we're going to taste here is a beer that has a lot of sweet malt and does not have a lot of yeast to, I'm sorry, not of a lot of hops to contrast it, but you're going to taste the real notes of the yeast that they use, a very specific yeast. But it's called an Abbey Ale because basically, who knows if it was made by the Abbey, if it was made in an Abbey, if it was made by anyone that was religious at all, or if it was in some town that had an Abbey in it. These things are not specific. They did go to the courts to try and get that word taken off. I think it was like 200 years ago they tried to get that word taken off of many beers, so not everybody could call themselves an Abbey Ale because everybody's just putting out as a style Abbey Ale. But now you can use it as long as it's not specific, and that's when they put the Trappist label on the real monk beer, and that's why we have the 7 Trappist beers we have today. And I think how many of the breweries have you been to?
We've been to Westmalle, Chimay, Vesleteren, and La Trappe.
That's good.
Koningshoven.
Chimay, Vesleteren. 4. That's 4 out of the 6. That's pretty good.
Now we'll find that.
So La Trappe's in
the
Netherlands.
So yeah.
We've done 3 of them in
three in Belgium.
Belgium.
Yeah.
So we'll find that distinctive Belgium taste in this beer.
Well, you know what will be distinctive about it, Jason? Is the
cloves.
In the finish, that white pepper phenol, okay. Right? But you'll also get that candied circus peanut and tropical on the nose. Do you ever eat those candies? Those little, circus peanut marzipans?
They're awful. Can't eat enough of them.
Yeah. Well, that's what this is supposed to, that's what you get out of this from these yeasts.
Absolutely.
You guys get that at all?
Yeah.
Nice,
it's like a marzipan.
It's got a nice fluffy head on it, too.
Mm. It's very, it really fits
that's
the pocket.
That's a drinkable beer.
It's quaffable.
We were talking about before. This is all over France. This is a very, very common beer. You said you drank it in Paris. Even in the south of France, it's kind of a... You don't... In that part of France, if you're up in the where you're bordering Belgium, where we were, you know, last week, you'll see a lot of people in the cafes drinking all kinds of, you know, good Belgians and things like that. If you're up in Lille, there's a big, you know, there's a big beer, craft beer movement right. in Lille. But if you're down in the south in Provence, or you're up in, well, Paris is changing too, but for the most part, you're going to see Leffe everywhere.
Right.
Everywhere.
It's becoming more of that classic national beer.
It's, yeah.
And now we have it here in the States.
Well, the interesting thing about it is, it's really funny if you look at where beer culture and wine culture kind of split, where it's, if you look at France and Belgium, and basically, you know, they didn't really grow as much good grain in France. They grew better grapes, and they grew more, they grew better grain in the Netherlands. But the interesting thing about it, when we get into Chimay and we start to talk about a few things about Chimay, is you're going to notice that they use a different type of extract to increase the strength of their wort in order to get it to the gravity that they need to create these really high powerful alcohols in their beers, and they do that by cooking sugar. So, were you able to see them preparing any beers?
We went through everything. What's
right?
It'll blow your mind.
Yeah,
when you
yeah,
go out
sure.
there, because you know you go in and first of all, like the bottling plant is totally separate from, you know, where the brewery is. The brewery
right.
was built originally where the abbey was, right?
Right? Mm-hmm.
And so you're in this abbey and you walk in, it's all peaceful, you know, there's a church and this and the plant is greenery and you're out. And then you walk like up these stairs and behind these doors, then you're in this like, you're expecting, I don't know, you're expecting history kind of old kind of,
right.
you're in this ultra modern,
yeah.
you know, brewery that's well, like, I mean, run by a big, you know, TV screen
yeah.
computer board that's like, and this is over here, and this is going on over here, and the brewer
sitting
behind. You
expect the guy from Austin Powers to come out and go,
pretty much.
Powers.
Pretty much.
Like my ultra modern facility.
It was incredible. It was
right?
really, yeah.
So if you notice here how beautiful and golden the Leffe is, and then we're going to bust out a Leffe Brune next, and you'll notice that's the cooked sugar aspect. But what Ruth's talking about is to be a Belgian or any type of Trappist beer, like we said, most of them are Belgian, they have to give a large amount of their proceeds back to the community around them
big
and
time.
Back to their own facility. So basically, that's why they have the ultra modern. I mean, they can't just go out and blow the money on a new Cadillac. They have to actually put it back into.
And they do. I mean, it's
yeah.
staggering the amount of money for what they make, how much they're actually making out of. They're not, because it's
right.
going into.
But they're monks, so they don't really
and
need to.
Well,
right?
It's
how does that work?
It's. The monks, okay, so this is how it is. So it's this, you know, ultra-modern thing, and they have brewers, and they have all these other people, and they have to follow into it. It has to be under the supervision of a monk. So the monk is now on the, they're on the board of directors.
Right.
And they can't make any decisions without asking them.
Right.
So it's not like you got guys in robes sitting there steering things. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's not, but because they are over it. But they're very conscious about supporting the community. So even though they modernized it, they were able to increase the amount of jobs as well. It wasn't like the computers
right.
took over people's jobs, and they were very, very conscious of that. They're very conscious of being able to give back and support the community, because that's part of the whole
now,
philosophy there.
Now, there's Scoremont Abbey in the city of Chimay. Now, are there other people that live outside the abbey?
Oh,
are
yeah.
there normal
there's,
people
there's
that live?
Normal people.
You know, non-monkey.
yeah,
non-monk.
Actually, they're... yeah, because the abbey's there, but then there's actually a town of Chimay.
Right.
There was a prince of Chimay.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and the
oh,
princess,
wow.
and they have a castle. And what was really cool is right in the center of town.
Yeah.
You know, in France, everywhere, and in Belgium, you see these circles. Everything circles. It's kind of like New Jersey, only much nicer.
Yes.
You know, right? So the traffic circles. But
the traffic circles.
The traffic circles, in the middle of them,
there's always a statue, right?
Statue, right?
Yeah.
So in there is a big kettle, a big, you know.
Really?
With, like, yeah, right. That was originally from the brewery.
That's one of the original ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So that's pretty cool. So there is a little town with a town square and everything outside of there. So.
And these are the wonderful things that you learn when you go on trips with Ruth. And you go over and you check out these things for yourself. But we're gonna talk all about that in a little bit. But I just wanted to note, this is the Leffe Brune. Now the Leffe Blonde. Notice here, folks. This is regular sugar that they use to make their beers, and then this would be the cooked sugar that gives you a brown aspect that turns it a little bit brown. Here's some right here.
I need a
so
cup.
Let's taste a little bit of these if you want.
I'll use this.
I was gonna taste a little bit of this.
Side by
one
side.
To the other. Was that bad?
That
what
was
happened?
Bad.
You hit the thing, man. Yeah, don't hit the thing.
Yeah.
You're lucky.
Did
we did we just knock out our
yeah.
Our feed?
Thanks, Dio. No, are we still live?
Yeah, we're live on the air, but with the camera just
the camera just messed up. Okay, no worries. So I was just going to show everybody. Hopefully you all saw the brown before the camera went out.
Thanks.
Take a picture and post it on Facebook.
Yeah,
it's okay. Better you than me.
But basically, here we are, and this one's brown because they cook the sugar and they make it brown. So now, does anyone taste the difference in this?
Absolutely. Now that first one they were saying pair with scallops or something like that. This next one they're saying a red meat or maybe some duck breast. So
I love duck breast.
Oh my God. That's all I eat in Europe. Duck and lamb.
Duck and lamb. And this, absolutely. Well, you taste it's not. It's very
roasted
subtle.
Malts, maybe? Or?
It's cooked sugar. They cook the sugar. Think about it, Jason. So if you took
like
sugar.
Caramel. I like it. It's like
it's caramelized sugar.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, they call them caramelizing onions. Mm. Those are the sugars in the onions and the carbohydrates in the onions as you're breaking it down in the pan and making it dark. Well, you take sugar and you can. Warm sugar up with water and make it a clear substance that's liquid now.
I make that
and
all
use
the time. Simple
that
syrup. Yeah.
As simple syrup in your wort. Or you can actually, in your brew, or you can actually cook the sugar till it's almost brown or brown.
Ah.
And you'll get more of a caramelized aspect. This is what they've been doing for years, and this is what we're going to get into a little bit more with in
now, do we
in
have
the
other left beers here or just these
no,
two?
No, there's only
the
two.
States?
Those are the only two that I know that are produced, period. There might be another one.
Yeah, I haven't seen.
I think they have a bunch more.
Oh, they do.
This is all you ever see at the cafe.
That's all you really ever see. And they're wonderful beers.
Yeah, they have a Left 9, a triple, radio.
Do they have a left nut? I'm sorry. No, that's
a wing nut.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
They also have a ruby.
Oh, they do. The left
ruby. I
don't
think I've seen that.
Oh. That's interesting. They should come out with a left nut, huh?
That would be awesome, yeah. A nice hazelnut.
It's phenomenal. Yeah. All right, okay, I'm cheesy. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to take a break, and then we're going to beat the crap out of Dio for screwing up our camera over here. And when we come back, we're going to have such a good time drinking Chimay on Belgian Beer Week on Feedstock on By the Glass on SoFloRadio.com.
SoFloRadio.com. Radio's dirty little secret. Put a team of professional consultants behind your home or business computer with Key Information Solutions, providing solutions to your internet and computing needs while keeping you on the cutting edge of technology. Preventative maintenance and networking support, hardware and custom-built computers. Let Key Information Solutions be your personal tech staff for your home or office with affordable hourly, monthly, or annual rates to fit anyone's budget. Call Key Information Solutions now, 954-973-3374. That's 954-973-3374. Or visit keyinformation.com.
Social media marketing. You know your business needs it. Mouse Media's talented team can cover a wide array of services and will work one-on-one to help you achieve your business goals. Looking for a web marketer, a social media guru, web designer, developer, programmer, or graphic designer? Yep, they got it. Visit them at mousemedia.us.
That's mousemedia.us.
Or follow Mouse Media on Twitter and on Facebook.
Mousemedia.us.
Jan Michael Morris isn't just any attorney. He's your attorney. The Morris Law Office, handling your legal needs for more than 20 years, providing a wide range of legal services for those who need it most. Let Jan Michael Morris put his experience to work for you. Call Jan Michael Morris at his Boca Raton office at 561-395-4195 and speak to Jan Michael Morris directly. That's 561-395-4195 or visit themorrislawoffice.com. Spokesperson is not an attorney.
It's post time. Join JJ and me, Sam, every weekday evening from 5 to 7 p.m., Thursdays 5 to 6, to talk horses. Listen live on SoFloRadio.com or listen at your convenience via iTunes or JoltNation.com. Now more than ever, this ongoing conversation regarding the future of horse racing is vital to horsemen and the horses they care for. So tune in and join the conversation. Call in, email, or even tweet. We're also on Facebook. Help bring our sport to the level it deserves to be on. It's post time with JJ Reese on the
And now we return you to By the Glass.
Who is this irresistible creature who has an insatiable love for the dead?
Living Dead Cast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to By the Glass. This is a show about beverage culture, and it's particularly a show about really great beer today, because we are drinking some wonderful beer from Belgium. We're rocking it down. And we have Ruth in studio. Ruth's from the Bomb Beer Voyage. And I don't think I really explained to you at home who don't really know. She really puts on these amazing trips where you can go over to Belgium with her, and she's a very talented and experienced tour guide who takes you through these really wonderful vacations through the different abbeys of Belgium and all the different breweries, and an amazing experience into the world of beer, and it's just a fantastic. Why don't you elaborate a little bit more? You're much more well-versed in it than I am.
Well, basically, our European trips are week-long cruises on a private canal boat.
Yes.
And with our own private chef. And we visit breweries, probably 10 to 12 breweries per trip. Mm-hmm. Just varies. We do beer-paired gourmet meals. The trip, we just came back from putting highlights on a trip we're doing in October and November that is going to Chimay, which is what we're talking about tonight, right. And which is fabulous because, we spend the entire day at Chimay.
Oh, wow.
I mean, incredible. We go and visit the bottling factory. We visit the brewery. We visit the abbey. We do tasting of all the beers. We tasted some beers that you can't get here, right. You know.
Now, is there a appointment to get in? Do you?
You can't get in if you're not. I mean,
right.
People, yeah. In fact, while we were there, people came and tried to get in, and they're like, "Sorry, you can't come." I mean, it's not open to everybody. So,
right. How did you work your way in? How
yeah,
did you do it?
That's my secret. It's trade
okay.
secret.
Okay, I didn't know.
That's trade right. secret.
All right, cool. That's cool. Yeah, I didn't know.
I know nice people.
Okay, great. No, that's what really matters.
And incredible. The beers, the cheeses, the. Holy
yeah,
mackerel.
I don't think a lot of people realize that Chimay makes cheese.
Oh my God, they make some seriously awesome cheese.
Yeah.
Can you get that in the United States?
Yes, you can.
You can get some of it, not all of it.
You know, and I'll tell you right now, okay, I'm a little upset because you can't get Chimay cheese and Chimay beer at the same time, because I know the place that you can get the Chimay cheese is the Cheese Course, and they don't buy Chimay beer. You want to tell me why that is?
So can you buy it and go across the street to the Yard House?
Yeah, you can buy the cheese from them and then go across the street with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But why can't you just buy the beer and the cheese at the same time?
They don't. They have beer there. They don't carry Chimay.
But they don't
there.
Carry Chimay.
We need to have a little chat with them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I've had a few chats with them. So.
Yeah, because they're really beautiful together. We did that. We did a huge tasting last week.
They're made, and people don't realize that the yeasts and the lactobacillus that's used to make the cheese are also things that people use to make beer. So they are very hand-in-hand, and they are old-world agricultural products that have been around for thousands of years that people have used in staples in their everyday life, and they are absolutely exquisite together.
We were going to bring some back, but
yeah,
you can bring cheese back overseas,
sure.
But it would just stink up the plane too much. We just
yeah, people would think it's
we did that last year when we did. We brought some cheese back from one
now
of our
I
trips.
Now I usually get the blue
is that
label.
Is that Chimay. Cheese or is that your feet that smell like that?
Yeah. it's that intense.
Both.
Yeah. It's good.
I usually get the blue label. What's the difference?
Okay, well, okay, Jason, so the whole show, and that's my job, is to explain to you the difference between all three Chimays.
But pulling it back in.
I'm also going to use Ruth because she was there and she's a pro herself. So here's how we
been
started
there, drank
out.
That.
Here's how we started out, right? First of all, there are three different Chimays. We just talked about all three of them. There's the red, the white, and the blue. The red, the premier, was the first one that was produced, 1862. Father Theodore, he isolated the yeast strain that was used for this beer. And he didn't necessarily start making it then, you said?
No, so actually what happened, this is really interesting. This
right.
is something I learned
okay,
that I had
fantastic.
No idea about.
More news.
Okay. Chimay mm. was actually started by the monks from Vestlateren.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, how did you find that out from one of the
I was,
there?
Well, because I toured, you know, when right. we were out there a week ago, I asked them, and so Fabrice, who brought us around.
They told you that?
He
though.
Told us this.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They the Prince of Chimay
yeah.
asked the monks, they wanted them to come in, and they wanted them to teach people, you know, the abbeys, they teach people, they wanted them to bring an abbey there to teach people how to make something out of the land they had, how to grow stuff on the land, which wasn't so hot over there.
Exactly, yes.
And to do something with it. So I think it was 17 monks from Vestlateren came
yes.
over
mm-hmm.
and actually started the abbey there.
So they and no longer were part of Vestlateren anymore. They are now
oh
their
God,
own
I don't
Chimay.
Know if they were or whatever. They were right. helping get things rolling. So now we have Chimay going.
So and they so built their own abbey for them. The prince
they
had
started
an abbey
to
built.
Build the
and
abbey.
And they were all the same Benedictine order and everything?
Cistercian. There's
oh, they're Cistercian?
Cistercian monks,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, okay, right.
And so they started it, but then during the war, the Germans took over the brewery thing. They pulled everything apart to
right.
use the metal and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so after the war, they had to come back in and start again. And that's when Father Theodore had to come up with the yeast that was as close to whatever it was they were originally kind of doing things with.
Oh, okay.
You know, so that's where they came up with that.
Oh, wow.
So, but then he, you know, he worked to isolate that.
Yeah.
And so when they started making the beer, they said what's interesting about their beers is that, you know, they can, very high quality control there.
Right.
But what's theirs, what's truly theirs is the yeast.
Yes.
You know, their yeast that they keep, you know, they have in the refrigerator and this and all that, you know, whatever. Their yeast strain.
Their slurry.
And their water source, because they use
very
a well
important.
Well on
they
site.
They keep using the yeast, well, right? They just save
it's
a little
bit. Slurry.
Yeah, okay.
And the slurry is like a pot that has yeast in it, and it looks like sludge.
So
and
they only need to save a little bit of that, right, to put it in the next
right,
batch?
Right, right. Some people actually will go from old brew to new brew, and that's how they keep their yeast. Now, Brooklyn told me that. I go, aren't you worried about contamination?
Nation?
And they said they haven't had a problem with it. Mm. But I've seen a lot of people also keep an actual slurry. Now, you talked about the yeast strain being theirs, and you talked about the water. Now, some of the regulation of the Trappist aspect, what makes it a Trappist? Now, if you don't know at home, Trappist is an order of laws that they have to adhere to really makes them in the category that they're in. Similar to an Appellation Controlli from France with a wine, you have to adhere to certain laws. One of them is the water source. Water source has to be pure, correct? Has to be their water source. That's what you just said.
No, I said that they get it from there. I don't know if that's one of the
yeah, that's
rules.
Definitely one
the
of
rules
them.
Are that it has to be made within the walls of the abbey.
Right. Well, it has to be made within the walls of the
underneath
abbey.
Underneath the supervision of the monk.
Have to give back
and they have
to
give
the community.
Back.
They also have to use a very, from their water source, has to be theirs. And they also have, there was one other thing that I can't remember.
The three that Fabrice was big on was,
those
that,
the
was
three.
That it has to be made within the walls of the abbey.
Right.
It has to be under the supervision of the monks.
Right.
And that they're giving the majority of the
majority
money
of
back
money.
In to support the abbey or the community.
Which is what you just went on your tour and you saw this unbelievable facility that was completely up to date and unbelievable technological advances that they've been putting this money that they make back into the facility and then thus back into the community. And really that's what it's all about. That's kind of why that they started it and then while the Prince of Chimay.
Plus they have a lot of time on their hands.
Of course, but. So as we drink this beer and we look at it, and we talked about the cooked sugars. Now, you can see now how they cook the sugars. This one, it's unfiltered, unfined, of course. And you can see that there's a little bit of a haze here. Now, what do you get off the nose, Jason? Now, it's a classic Belgian yeast strain. What should you get off the nose here?
Cloves. Right?
Well, not necessarily
little
cloves
bit of spice,
on this one.
A little bit.
Okay. Now, yeah. Cloves can be a little bit more of a different type of yeast strain that actually comes more from Germany. Those tend to be a little bit more clovey. Some of these can be a little bit more spice. Very good, Jason. I get a lot of stone fruit on the nose. I get generally apricot, and I get a little bit of maybe some nectarine, that type of thing, whenever I tie a double from Chimay.
I'll give you that. Mm.
And then immediately you have those really lovely caramelized notes that come from the sugar, which give you all those candied circus peanut and all those lovely candies. What do you think, George?
Nice. I think mine's gone, and I need to drink more to be able to opine about it.
Go ahead and opine.
It is well. It's a very flavorful beer.
It is.
And,
yeah.
I don't know if I could drink a lot of it. But
it's
it,
made
it
to be
sure
savored.
Is a nice. It is a nice sipping beer. It'd be a great after dinner beer.
It is.
Well, I brought it to Christmas and Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And people loved it.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
You have a glass of this with dinner, and it just goes.
It works
really
very well with all those types of foods, those original foods, the hearty foods, the comfort foods. It's a very classic beer and made in a classic manner, and still much in the same way that it was made 150 years ago. However, with modern technology that's used now to for the equipment, and she said that's just a big, huge board with all these little buttons on it, and just it's everything's bright and shiny and beautiful. And she showed me a video of the actual mash tun and everything going on, and everything is just state of the art,
automated.
Steel,
but they're watching over it. But
right.
You know,
yeah.
And the quality control. This is what I didn't tell you. The quality
right.
control. Okay.
Yeah.
This is incredible.
Yeah.
You'll see on the bottle. Is it on here? Down here. I can't read it. I won't
the mark
that,
of Trappist.
But no, not the mark of Trappist. No. The batch numbers.
Oh, the batch numbers, okay.
They do about 810 batches a year.
Right.
All right? And they have, I was showing you pictures before, the lab.
Yes.
Everything's lab. Quality control. They do about 80 tests per batch.
Wow.
On everything to make sure that the quality is where it needs to be.
That's amazing.
And they said that maybe one batch a year
right.
has to be canned
yeah.
out of all of it. And they only get about 100 complaints a year, and they keep samples from each batch, so they can go back if they get a complaint to see what it is.
Oh, wow.
And usually they say, you know, maybe there's a chip on the bottle or there's this or something, but okay. They do so many tests that they don't have a problem with it at all because they're so intense upon their quality control.
Well, that's fantastic because, you know, they're not putting stuff out like, let's say, like when it's from a big conglomerate beer company like in America.
It's a work of art.
Yeah, they're definitely producing a work of art, so they need to keep the quality control high. And there's a lot of off flavors and things that can happen to beer, and they need to
be
on top of that.
They test it. I mean, it's incredible what they go through to test it. I mean, not just people tasting, and they have a tasting room, and they have to taste all the batches. There's people that do that, but there's also, I mean, it's a huge lab where they're testing this. I mean,
and this is your classic Belgian double. Now, the double is double the gravity of a normal. Now, the monks make a beer that they drink for themselves.
Yeah, so you said before there's only three. There's actually more. So there is the beer that they make for themselves. Right. I think it's called Doré Golden,
Doré.
Right?
Yeah, the Doré.
And because, they're named after the cap color. That's what the red, white, blue is.
Right,
yeah, right.
Absolutely.
So I think that's a gold cap.
Okay.
And it's 4.8% or something.
I thought it was lighter than that. Was it 4.8?
I think it's 4.8. Oh, okay. Anyways, because this is seven, right?
Right.
Yeah, 7, 8, 9. So the that one's low percent. They used to have it in bottles.
Okay.
And it's the one beer that they're allowed at the brewery to mess with the recipe kind of each year if they want to, because it's not really going out.
Right.
So they don't have it in bottles anymore. You can only get it on tap. They can get bottles, but you can get it on tap in the restaurant nearby.
Yes.
Because the monks had saw somebody was trying to sell on eBay. They had taken some bottles back, and they're selling them on eBay.
Wow.
And they did not, you know, they
of
don't like
course,
that kind of stuff.
Like that,
so now it's only available. You can taste it if you go there,
the
only on tap.
Yeah, the golden.
The golden, yeah. I'm reading about it right now. Yeah.
Not for sale.
It's not.
It's
not for sale anywhere. You can only get it through special.
You can get it, but if you come with me on the tour, you can get it
sold in special old bottles through unofficial sources.
Well, or you can get it on tap over there in Chimay, actually.
They also have a Blanche.
And,
do we see that
Blanche
one here?
No, so no? The...
Blanche is white.
So
yeah. They say it's good.
The new one that's coming out for the 150th, the Son Cinquantième.
Yes.
Son Cinquantième is 150th, but Son Cinquante is 150. And that's the beer that's 10%. And that's what's coming out. We'll get it here in, I think, August. We should be getting it.
Yes, I will have some.
Yeah, it was nice. But this is what I have to tell you, though.
Yes.
So when we're there in the tasting room, they brought out a, we'll get to the blue.
Yeah, we will.
They brought out a 16-year aged.
That's
and
amazing.
You can sell her the blue.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
Well, the reason you can sell it is because of the alcohol level, because of the spices that are used in it, active preservatives, the roasting of the malt, and the fact that it has natural preservative aspects. And that's something that you would definitely sell her, and you could probably drink vertical levels
they
of it.
They say you can sell her then
up
for at least
16.
5 years at least.
He says, actually what they said to us was at 5 years is when it really starts to make a difference, really starts to change and is good.
Wow.
And then it starts to really increase. And he said about 16 is...
It can be aged for up to 15 years.
That's 16 is where
So he busted one out that was
that was
at
16,
prime.
And they said right there after that it's whatever. So
it goes
that's,
down.
Oh my God.
It must have been amazing.
Yeah, it was like a port.
Yeah, it definitely. It starts to all just those wonderful sugars. They come together and they give you just a tremendous flavor base. So we have we're tasting the red. What
but
do you
no
guys?
Cheese,
think?
No cheese today. We didn't bring any in.
No.
Oh man.
Yeah. So we're tasting the red today. Absolutely wonderful Belgian double. Double means double the alcohol or double the gravity of the original beers. Some of the more original beers that you would make in Chimay or that you would make of a Belgian table beer. So. They cook the sugar, and they are very classic yeast, as with Ruth was talking about. Gives it that very specific flavor. It's not heavily hopped. Did you watch them hopping the beer or putting in the hops at all?
No,
it must not have been
no.
very much, because you don't really taste a very, very large hop presence.
The
most Belgian beers
the
are not.
The Blanche
hopped.
Or the white is
Blanche.
The hopped beer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we're going to get to that one next.
We don't have the white one.
We
no.
do. We absolutely do.
The white,
do?
White, not
the Saint
no.
Saint. Oh no!
We don't have that one. Yeah.
Is that the one that has
don't
the cascade?
Don't go there.
In
okay,
it?
so that is the triple. But don't go there next because this is interesting.
Okay.
So when we were there,
right.
and we were tasting, he said we were tasting it with cheese, though. So I mean, you can whatever
right.
you want, but
we could have brought some.
But he said the. That you want to always taste that one last because it is the hoppiest and it kind of blows
right.
your taste buds out.
It does.
So he said you should go and order red, white, red, blue, White.
What we're going to do, though, is we're going to throw something funky in the mix. If you could grab that the other bottle, the one that's Cajun cork, Jason, the brown one, the Ovila. I wanted to bring this out because this is the American version of a Belgian Trappist made by Sierra Nevada. I just happened to bring this in because I wanted everybody to taste these two back-to-back.
This is
now everybody
stuff.
Still has that flavor in their mouth. This is
This is my favorite.
This is my favorite collaboration with the monks of New Clairvaux.
I like the triple.
And Sierra Nevada Brewing Company. Basically, what they've done here is they've created their own American version of the Belgian style Chimay, or the Belgian double. So they cook the sugar. They use a very low hop content, although. You know, I have not tasted this next to a regular Chimay. It might be a little bit more hot since it's an American version. Now, we all know that American versions of beers to their cousins in Europe are always what, Dio? Hoppier and more alcohol, right? Very simple. Yeah, that one's
that's
on
just
the
way we do it over
that's
here.
That's the way we do it over here. So we're going to pour a little of this, and it looks absolutely gorgeous. Now, I wanted to taste this one up against. We still have that wonderful Chimay on our taste buds, and this is a very beautiful beer in its own right. I have to pour this one at a little
bit
of
an
angle
color.
Because it starts to get very. Yes, exactly. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Good smelling.
That'll come down very quickly, though. Beautiful cascade, though. Absolutely lovely. Look at the head on this, and it's a very nice. That's a wonderful head. And a very small bubbles, more similar to maybe like a champagne-style bubbles. You can see that it's almost exact with the unfiltered, unfine. The color is almost exact to the Chimay. Let's pour. Does somebody want to dump that one out, please, or something?
This is Chimay.
That is Chimay? Yep. You mind if I top that off a little bit? So let's take a look at both of these together.
Doing some mixing.
We have
there.
The Chimay, and we have the Ovila double. Now, you can see they're very similar. Mm-hmm. What do you think? Everybody think about that one. Very similar, okay? We put them to our nose. Very lovely, wonderful spice and lovely raisinated fruits, apricots, stone fruits. Same thing. I'm getting a very similar. The similarities are tremendous. So as we put this one, you know, under the little bit of a microscope here and like really take a look at it. What is everybody getting off this one? Is it very similar to the Chimay?
It is a little bolder, a little bit more flavor.
A little bolder, crisper water maybe.
Maybe a little bit of a creamier texture.
Definitely more of a, you know what? This is exactly what we look at when we look at Old World wines and New World wines, because what are Old World wines? More of a dried fruit, and the New World wines are more of a fresh fruit. This, to me, I get more fresh orchard fruits than I do.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally right? different. It's totally different.
I get
different.
It's like almost crisper. Not
in
as
that in that aspect,
it's not
completely
as,
different.
This is richer to me.
Yes, the Chimay is a little richer. And
because it's more of that type of fruit.
More of that type of fruit that comes from it. But this one here has a much more of a very bold, fresh fruit aspect. It's an interesting beer. I think they've done an amazing job. It's something.
I think
that,
it's an awesome beer.
Yeah, I think
awesome.
That they've done a wonderful job. And the fact that they had the Chimay as a blueprint. Who knows if they used their yeast to create it. So is technically Chimay using West Lettering yeast? Technically since they're...
No, but you know the whole... the whole thing about who's using it. It's not West Lederen's using Saint Bernardus is using West Lederen's yeast. Right. West Lederen is using Westmalle's yeast.
Ah, yes.
Right.
It's all very intriguing, and I can't wait to discuss it more. But right now we're going to take a break, and we're going to get a little bit more drinking going on when we party for Feedstock in Belgium in our National Revolution Day. When we come back, I'm by the glass on SoFloRadio.com.
SoFloRadio.com. We do stuff.
When you're ready to actually lose weight safely and steadily while being monitored by a physician, the Weight Loss Clinic of Dr. Kim Jacobson is there for you. The family medicine practice was established by her father in 1956 and continues as a medical practice that now specializes in weight reduction. Dr. Kim Jacobson joined the practice 20 years ago as both a family medicine practitioner and weight loss specialist. The Weight Loss Clinic utilizes a combination of appetite suppression medication and vitamins to produce great results, usually 3 to 4 pounds per week for most patients. Now you can change your lifestyle while still enjoying your own food, just less of it. They offer a choice of 2, 3, or 4 week plans. So whether you just need to lose a few pounds or a lot, the Weight Loss Clinic of Dr. Kim Jacobson can help you. They're located at 5454 Northeast 4th Avenue in Miami, just 2 blocks west of 54th Street and Biscayne Boulevard. Call them at 305-751-0091. They'll be happy to answer any and all of your questions. That's 305-751-0091. Get started on a beautiful new body today with Dr. Kim Jacobson and the Weight Loss Clinic.
Put a team of professional consultants behind your home or business computer with Key Information Solutions, providing solutions to your internet and computing needs while keeping you on the cutting edge of technology, preventative maintenance and networking support, hardware and custom-built computers. Let Key Information Solutions be your personal tech staff for your home or office with affordable hourly, monthly, or annual rates to fit anyone's budget. Call Key Information Solutions now, 954-973-3374. That's 954-973-3374. Or visit keyinformation.com.
The Pennsylvania Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association is the advocate for Parks Racing's horsemen. Under the leadership of President Salvatore DeBunda, Executive Director Michael Belezzi, and the Board of Directors, the PTHA has worked hard to secure better lives for...
Hey, Schlub, get in here. George Rodriguez wants us to make a 30-second promo. He's calling, bitching, moaning, and complaining and crying. And he wants to make sure all these great shows on SoFlo Radio get promoted properly. So here we go. Start a little bit of reggae music. Hey, gang, it's Byron the Eggman Eggers.
And me, H-Love.
H, tell everybody when the show is on.
We're on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday from 9 to 11 p.m. And I'll Wednesdays, we go out and get in a little bit of trouble.
Add our show to your list of addictions, The Byron Eggers Show with H. Love.
On SoFloRadio.com.
And now we return you to By the Glass.
Hey everybody, welcome back to By the Glass. Yeah, we're having a wonderful time here. We're talking about Belgian Independence
Starting to get
Day.
A buzz.
We're starting to get a buzz, and that's always a good thing.
I'm not going
to
need to try harder.
Yeah, I'm going to try harder. Yeah, so thank God King Leopold took his oath, because that way we get to party every...
I salute you.
Actually, the real Feedstock is on the 21st. It's a Saturday. So if you guys are out there having a good time, partying this weekend, please buy a Belgian beer, hold it up, and say, King Leopold, you rock.
So, you rock.
Interesting, I asked you for the blue, but you busted out the white, so we're going to have to go with that
one. Oh, okay.
That's all part of the day.
All right. He's colorblind, folks. But we love Dio. We're not ragging on him anymore today, because then he would feel like he was unappreciated.
He can't function in the daytime. He went to night school.
Definitely. He went to night school. Yeah, so I have a bunch of really interesting notes in front of me that talk all about like France and the Netherlands and... You know, Prince William and his orange shorts and everything.
He had orange shorts?
Yeah, I think he did, yeah. But he also had European powers and, you know, constitutional monarchy. But basically what we're talking about is Bon Beer Belgian trips, baby. Ooh la la. And let's just let Ruth talk a little bit about her itinerary, if she wants to. If she wants to talk about that, she probably knows on the top of her head. And let her plug herself a little bit, because... we're on to our next beer, but we want Ruth to get some time in here. So go ahead.
So the itinerary we're talking about today is the Grand Cruise to Farmhouse Brews. So we are visiting. Yeah, well, we're doing what's really neat about this is we're not just doing Belgium. We're hitting the France and Belgian borders. So we're going into France, and we're visiting the little farmhouse brewers.
Nice.
Where they make their – it depends where you are. Some of them call them Beer de Garde. Some of them call them Saison.
Yeah.
The French are more likely to say Beer de Garde, and the Belgians are more likely to say Saison, but we have some people that are in France but are from Belgium, so whatever. Anyway, the point is the beer is fabulous.
Yeah.
And people don't really realize that there's great beer in France as well as Belgium.
The Beer de Garde, I think it really has to do with the temperatures at which that they brew they ferment, and it's kind of like that whole Germans have their Kolsch, Americans have their California Common Steam, the French-Belgian aspect, they have their Beer de Garde, where it might be brewed at a different temperature, but it might be, you know, an ale yeast brewed at lager temperature, lager yeast brewed at ale temperature, that type of thing. I think that has some more to do with it when it actually comes with the finished product.
Well, I kind of asked a bunch of them, and they're
not going to give
everybody.
You a
everybody has
answer.
Their own. Well, everybody has their own opinion on it, but it's all kind of even if you research back in here about like Saison and Beer de Garde, what Saison, you know, Saison isn't it's not like an exact style. It's, you know,
well, I like to always talk about Saison. You know, the Saisonnaires are the French version of migrant workers. And they would come in, and they would work all during the summertime, picking the crops.
What color are they?
They're Blanche, Rouge, and Grune. And they're Brune, yeah. So basically, exactly. They would come in work all summer. But if you are working on a farm in Belgium in the wintertime, you're not doing much except for brewing beer because it's cold and you're keeping the livestock warm and you're keeping them fed. And you're also using whatever you have left over on the farm to create a beer, a good beer. It might be some natural spices involved. You might have a bunch of different types of grains that are available. And you also are using maybe some different types of flora. It could be anything, flowers or sage or some type of nutmeg. Or you might even have a really great yeast that you have in your slurry that you can use to make your signature beer. But by definition, it absolutely is undefinable. So there's no real one aspect to a Saison. You must move up, Jason, not the beer, right?
Oh, leaning way.
He's back. Leaning way.
I was taking a picture of the beer.
I know. That's then when you finished, I was watching you.
But so it's interesting. What I love about it is through these trips, these Bond Beer Belgium trips, you get to learn this stuff firsthand. I sit here and ramble about this crap all day long. I've never been to Belgium for that. I've been to Belgium, but I ate Pringles and drank beer. I didn't go to the Abbey's. Did he do it again?
Oh my god!
I just saw the whole thing kick off, bro.
No, it's still there. It's still there.
Earthquake. You're not allowed.
Oh my god!
You're sitting over there for the rest of the show.
These tall people, man.
I'll tell you.
They get up and they hit everything in the perimeter, man.
Boy, I love the guy to death.
6 foot range. These tall people.
Cut him off. He can't drink anymore.
Pass a law against tall people.
There ought to be a law.
I'm always careful when I sit there.
Nobody above 5'7".
Yeah, there ought to be a law.
They like to lean back the tall.
It's a really great time to get out there, and let's face it. There's not a lot of people that are doing it right. She's got a lot of experience. She's been in the business for a long time, and she's set this thing up. There's are people that do trips of breweries. There's just not a lot of people that do them right. I'm paraphrasing from one of our earlier shows last year when you came on. That's exactly what you said.
Well, yeah, and what's nice, what's really nice, what I love about it is the people.
Yeah,
not just the people that come with us are great, but the people we know over there, the brewers, they love when we bring people there that get it, that get what they do and appreciate what they do, and they're so welcoming and so generous, and it's just
To quote Garrett Oliver, brewers and chefs are the new rock stars.
Yeah,
people are very interested. And even when I did a beer dinner last night, and I tell you, 25 people, they were shaking my hand and they practically wanted my autograph, just for sitting there and talking about beer. And they're so intrigued and they love it. And it's an amazing thing because, let's face it, everybody who makes this is an alchemist. They turn wheat and barley into gold, literally gold in my glass. And it's worth more than gold. And if you think about it, the fact that the beer business is very profitable and people can make a living at doing what they love. And it's an absolute essential part of our lives. Everybody knows what beer has done for the world. It's literally the reason we stopped following around the herd and said, you know what? I'm just going to sit here and plant some barley.
Grow some
wheat.
Because
I can't make beer out of this darn beef that I keep cutting up. It doesn't make beer, so I'm going to grow some grain to make some beer, So they really realized it. Anyway, so moving right along, we have another beer in front of us. This is the Chimay, the Cinq-Cent, which means 500 years of the cistern. Is it a cistern?
It's a Cistercian. Actually, they did it.
I always thought that it was what did I say before?
Cistern.
Well, it's a cistern monk.
No, you had a Cistercian.
The Benedictine monks.
It's a Cistercian. And the Cinq-Cent, this is actually called
Perrier Trappe.
Well, they're all called Perrier Trappe. The triple or the white.
The triple, yeah.
Right? But because of the big gravity, bottle, right? In the big bottle, they call that the Cinq-Cent.
The Cinq-Cent.
500 years because they made the big bottle
for
to thank the Prince of Chimay for bringing everything here.
So this was
celebrating 500 years of the town.
Oh, of the town.
Yeah, I think it was maybe. I don't know. I'm not going to guess.
Okay, but we all know that the triple is different from the. What's the main thing that's different from the one that we just had? Anybody want to guess? The color.
Triple. Oh, yes. Okay.
Yes,
that
it's
was
not
too
brown.
Easy.
It's too easy. It's blonde. And the reason is because what's the difference? What do we just have the difference between the left blonde and the left brune was? The sugar. Sugar, right. So the sugar is cooked, but it's not browned. So what they have here is they've used the really floral hop notes in this one to balance the beer. So what they've done is probably because they had the ability to get hops, before when it wasn't as easy. Think about it. If you think about 1850s in Belgium, sugar is not growing anywhere in Europe.
No, they had to get that from Jamaica.
Jamaica. And you also, and hops are not growing anywhere really close. They had to travel to Germany. Hops are a little bit more accessible, but they certainly were not something that were just every day everywhere. So the fact that they had to come up with these raw commodities and to make these beers, it was a little tougher on them. So this one here, you say it's a little more modern, and you can definitely tell in the way that it has a nice finish of a hoppy floral note,
definitely.
Right? So off the nose, though, we still get a lot of wonderful... it's okay, Jason. You know, I think it's probably one of the first times you've ever dropped any drink on By the Glass, and it's been at least 100 shows. So I got to give it to
pretty
you.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty damn good. So, yeah.
It's a disastrous
day. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you didn't drop it on your laptop, did you?
Oh, yeah.
It's okay. He's okay.
Oh, wow. That's one of those waterproof laptops.
No, I was just reading a review how this guy, he did the red, white, and blue of Chimay.
Right.
And blue was his favorite, as is
so
mine.
Let's bust out the blue, please. Let's drink the white. We just talked a bit about it. Yes.
The white is okay.
Yeah, you like it, huh?
Right now, the white is the only one you're going to get on tap.
Mm. That's all we have on tap.
That's all
we
have on tap.
They are now experimenting with the red. And they hope to have the red on draft and then eventually the blue on draft.
Beautiful. Wow.
So
thank you very much, Dio.
But right now, if you're getting it on draft, this is what you're getting.
I mean, the hop content in this is very pronounced.
On the white one, yeah.
Do you taste it?
I think is that the one that's dry hopped? I think it is.
No. It's just it's
well,
just
one of them said it was dry hopped.
Is it dry hopped?
That's what
I guess maybe you would have to in order to get that kind of... May we have a napkin or something, Dio, in order to get that kind of really pronounced flavor. I'd never been to the brewery. I didn't know that they did dry hopping. I'm really interested in finding out when they produced the white. I don't know. That would tell me a lot. If it's in the last 25 years or maybe 50 years, then I would understand a little bit more about it. But if it's 100 years old, then obviously they're not dry hopping anything at that point. So,
yeah.
So,
they also, do you know this, that they, you know, the draft versus the bottle is a little...
smaller pour.
Less alcohol.
Oh, is
less
it?
Less alcohol, more alcohol. It's made a little differently because they're concerned about when they do the second fermentation.
Right. Okay.
That they have to leave different amounts of room and things so that...
Right.
For safety purposes.
For
so
safety.
Things don't explode, basically.
Right. It's probably less alcohol in the bottle, more alcohol in the...
They're different. If you taste it on draft and you taste it out of the bottle...
I have. I've done a tasting.
It's not exactly the same, they're close, but they're not exactly the same.
And the interesting thing about that is you get a little bit more pronounced... hop in the bottle aspect. Okay, so moving right along here, we're going to move on to our third. So Red 7 Premier Belgian Double Style, White 8 Triple Style, that's the Sing Song, and it also has more of a very wonderful hop finish.
And my favorite,
did you say
the blue.
This was the one that they used the Cascade?
Yep.
So that's amazing. I didn't know that. I think that's news. I don't know if anybody knew that. Who told you that? That's amazing that they leaked that.
Fabrice.
Yeah. She got that from the monk's mouth.
He's not the monk.
Oh, okay.
He's the rep in the brewery.
Oh, okay.
He's
the brewery rep?
The brewery,
that's amazing.
PR
now,
guy,
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I think that's a phenomenal little tidbit of
information.
Yeah,
that the triple
but
has
you
a
know,
third,
now that
third
I,
hops
now that I taste
and
it.
Taste
and
it.
For you, yeah, absolutely. For those of you at home that don't know, Cascade is what's used in Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. It's one of the classic American hops that we use in a lot of our American Pale Ales. And it's one of our, it's our signature hop in America. So absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, I like this blue. It's got something. Maybe the roasted.
Yes,
Jason, sweeter.
It has roasted notes. Okay. So that means that they've roasted the barley.
Yeah.
They've added in
a lot of
spice. Those spices could be nutmeg. Those spices could be cinnamon. Those spices could be. They have a lot of brewer spices that they use. And they've made it for the. It's also 9%, so it's made for
that's
the holiday
why I like it
season.
Too.
Yeah. Right, we're saying this was
originally
Christmas
but it has
Christmas
such
beer,
a rich, luxurious quality to it.
That's good beer.
You know, if you mix the cooked sugar with the roasted notes and add the spice, you really get that trifecta of flavor.
This is a beer. Whenever we're trying to turn a wine drinker over to beer, this is it right here. That's what we always start with.
I get nutmeg.
All right, I stand corrected. It's not dry hopped. It has the most hopped.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't think they were dry hopping yet.
Right, because this has 3 hops and the other one.
Right.
Two
different
types of hops.
The other one.
And 5 times more bitterness in there.
Yeah, exactly. 5 times more bitterness. And you can taste that pronounced hop flavor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to say thank you to everyone involved here as we wrap up our Belgian National Day here. But please, as you drink all your wonderful Belgian beers, and even when you're on your Bond beer Belgium trip, you don't have to drink responsibly. But here in America, when we're on by the glass, we drink responsibly. Please do not drink and drive. Do not overconsume. Do not drink while pregnant. No drinking under 21. And always drink all your Belgian beer and everything else responsibly. We love to have fun. Drink to taste, as we say on By the Glass. Ruth, it's been an absolute pleasure. Always is. You're always welcome back.
Thank you.
Go out to Bond Beer Voyage and check out her website. She's got a great trip coming up. You got to get on that if you are a Belgian beer fan. She is the one for you.
Any trips to Prague coming up?
Hold on a second. We'd like to thank Ed Roberts and everybody else involved.
Thank you, Ed.
Yeah, we really for putting another great show. Greg Swartz, don't worry about it, brother. We'll catch you next time. And have a wonderful evening, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Thank you. Goodbye.
Cheers. Everybody.
Good night.
Cheers.
Salud. Hey, Bon Beer Voyage.
SoFloRadio.com and SoFloTelevision.com.